Welcome to the Fetish Show. The Fetish Show explores kinky sex, adult entertainment, relationships, and BDSM lifestyle. Your hosts are fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix and fetish model, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk and Zoe.
I think you know what's gonna happen tonight.
Welcome to the Fetish Show. My name is Dirk Hooper, and I am joined, as always, by the Egg McMuffin of professional dominatrix, Princess Zoe. How you doing, Zoe?
I'm doing fine. What the hell? I'm an Egg McMuffin. You're a Chicken McNugget now. Why are you calling me that? Is that good?
Haven't you seen the commercials where they talk about they're the Egg McMuffin of this or that?
No.
I figured you were the Egg McMuffin of dominatrix.
I don't know if that's necessarily good, but okay. Thank you. Anyway.
It's meant in the best way possible.
Just call me McMuffin.
All right. McMuffin, why don't you tell us what's coming up next on the show?
Why don't I do that? Oh, well, this is cool. We have two of our past guests. We have some updates from them.
Right.
And an interview with a fetishist on the Wheel of Fetish. Go figure. And an interview with Angel Apple, or is that Apple Angel? Did I say it backwards?
It's Apple Angel.
Well, either way.
Who is a burlesque performer.
She's a hot chick, actually.
And hot.
Yes, she is pretty hot. She sat by me, too, so that was cool.
I know, that's always the way it is.
And then Fetish Life versus Your Vanilla Life on the Whipping Post. And at the end of the show is something pretty special.
It's a special episode of The Fetish Show.
They're all special.
Oh, it's so special.
It's so special, need to wear a helmet.
Good point. Well, I was busy over my vacation time. I did the best that I could, and I got the Fetish Show listed on a big bunch of directories and a couple of services that we were not previously listed on, including Zune. So if you've got a Zune out there, you can go to the Zune network.
Wait, what's a Zune? Is that like a creature?
That's Microsoft's version of the iPod.
Oh, okay.
Is the Zune. Huh. And so anyway, I talked to the guy who does it directly, and he got us hooked up on that, so thank you very much. And I'm even more excited about the fact that they put us on Stitcher.
I'm excited, too.
Well, Stitcher's kind of the future of radio. It's streaming radio. It's right off of the internet. You can get it on your phone. You can get it some places. You can get it in your car or something like that.
We're everywhere.
So, yeah, if you're on Stitcher, then you can find the Fetish Show on there now.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you did that. So what else did you do on vacation? Did you sleep okay?
Well, that's about all I did is sleep because I got sick. Unfortunately.
Why do you go on vacation to get sick?
I don't know. Lord, that Jesus. Sucks. That's terrible. That's well, just that's the way I do vacation.
I don't sleep anymore in my house because I have geese who live at my house. They've taken over the fucking world.
You do have geese there.
The fucking geese that live out in the lake there. They're crazy.
There's like 100,000 geese.
And they're so fucking loud at like 4:30 every morning. They're like, what is wrong with you people? They laid some fucking eggs. They have an island. They take over the fucking island. Mm-hmm. You can't swim too close to it. They're going to kick your ass. You can't get on the island.
It's like Escape from New York.
Yes.
With geese.
It is. There's some rogue motherfucking geese. I got some video of it.
Geese Pliskin.
They like scared another bird and like flew into my attic. And I'm like, how do you get this bird out of my attic? It's crazy over there.
So anyway. You did have a bird in your attic.
Yes.
What is it with you and birds?
I don't know. They just like walk in my house. I'm like, but Josh, I go up there somewhere and like, shut up, please. And they're like, go away.
I call you on the phone and it's always rah, rah.
Oh, what the hell are they doing? It's bizarre.
Like they're attacking you.
I've had people like
a Hitchcock film.
Stay over, you know, and they're like been woken up. They're like, what is that noise? I'm like, it's some geese.
The honking.
Yeah, you came over the other day and there was one in the driveway that challenged you. You're like, I'm bigger than you.
Yeah,
like,
I said, what are you going to do? I mean, you got to be kidding me.
I'm like,
I must be 20 times your size.
He did what not care.
That's crazy. Someone forgot to turn off their cell phone.
I don't know who would do such a thing.
We'll call them, I don't know, Zoe.
I'm sorry.
Not to use their real name. We'll just call
it. I thought I did turn
Zoe.
It off. I thought I did.
Wow. So anyway, I had a photo shoot the other day with Apple Angel and her several members of her troupe, which I can't really talk about because it's going to be a big deal. We're going to try to get into the Biting the Apple exhibit, and I hope I do.
Nice photo shoot too, by the way.
Thank you.
I think that's going to come out well.
If it doesn't get in Biting the Apple, then it'll be on my
website.
Well,
then the hell with them if it does.
Exactly.
We'll kick their ass.
That's the way I feel about it. But anyway, we had a great shoot at the Boom, and I think we actually talk about it during our interview. So,
all right.
In case you get some more information on that. speaking of crazy crap that's been happening to me, my computer crashed.
Oh, man, you're going to tell everybody? Shit.
I am going to tell everyone.
It's pretty bad.
Here's the reason why I'm going to tell everyone, because this is a cautionary tale.
Oh, no.
For everyone out there who, I don't know, has important files on their computer, and particularly people who
are professional
photographers who have gigs and gigabytes of information, you might want to back that shit up. Just a little bit of advice for you.
Dark. Damn it.
Well, I've got a computer.
I take it personal when my computer crashes.
I know. It's terrible. Because it puts a halt on everything I'm doing, including the Fetish Show and everything else.
And then you cry.
I know. There was a lot of crying. I was in the cry corner.
And in the corner.
It was really bad.
Like fluffy.
I kept playing I'm All Out of Love.
Yes. Oh, no. Good Lord. I thought you were going to be suicidal at one point.
It was bad. So, look.
Love.
They're not a sponsor, but they should be. Get Carbonite, get some external hard drives. Back your shit up, because I had a fairly new computer. It shouldn't have crashed, and it did.
Wow.
So
the damn computer.
You don't have as much time as you think. Back that shit up right now.
That's my advice to you.
Seriously.
I agree with you. I have
seriously.
Four laptops go down at one time.
There's maybe an outside chance that I'm going to be able to recover this information. For cheap, there's another chance that maybe I can recover the information for like thousands of dollars.
But no chance we're not going to hear about this every day.
Oh my God.
Lives
That's
until
actually the Fetish Show is going to become me talking about my computer crashes. So I hope you guys enjoyed that talk.
Shit. I'm sorry that happened though.
All right. So a couple of our former guests on the show have some pretty big news happening to them. I want to talk about that for just a second.
Well, let's do it.
Terry Jean Bedford tweeted out, well, she didn't tweet it out. It was actually on Google Plus today. She sent this this article out. The Ontario Court of Appeal intends to release its landmark decision on the legality of the country's prostitution laws on Monday, which I believe will be about the 24th of March, something like that.
I think it was delayed from when it was originally
It was, because if you remember during our interview, she said it'd be, right around the first of the year.
We'll have to check with her next week.
They say after deliberating for 9 months, a 5-judge panel of the court is faced with the task of deciding whether or not to decriminalize 3 anti-prostitution provisions on the basis that they actually endanger prostitutes rather than adding to their safety. And let's see, they mention her in this somewhere here. The constitutional challenge was launched by Terry Jean Bedford, a dominatrix, Amy Lobovich, a prostitute, and Valerie Scott, a former prostitute.
That's historic.
So, they could change their constitution there, which is very interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, so good luck to that. And by the time that we get this episode out, hopefully we'll have maybe an update on the site or something.
That's cool.
All right. Also, one of our, the guy that we mention on every episode of the Fetish Show, Buck Angel had something exciting happening. Buck Angel and the Woodhull Sexual Freedom Alliance have joined forces to help move our world to a place where our fundamental human right to sexual freedom is fully realized. The mission of this organization meshes perfectly with Buck Angel's message of being sexually comfortable in one's own skin. Together, they hope to advance an agenda that recognizes the wonderful diversity of sex, sexuality, and our rights to make informed, consensual choices in our lives.
Well, can you repeat that? Just kidding.
No, I cannot.
Well, he's perfect for this.
Absolutely.
He's going to do a good job for them, and I think this is a good fit for him. I'm proud of him.
if you're interested in the Woodhull organization, then go to the woodhullalliance.org.
W-O-O-D-H-U-L-L.
Right. And we'll put that up on our website if you want to link to there. And if you're interested in Buck Angel, then you can go to buckangelentertainment.com. Or you can listen to the interview that we did with him.
You see, yeah. I left a little comment there underneath this thing on the Woodhull thing. Did you read it?
Oh, did you?
I did. I hope he sees it. I hope Buck sees that whenever he.
Oh, that's cool. I hope so too. Yeah, very cool. All right, that's going to do it. And up next is the Fetish Show News.
Hi, I'm Princess Zoe. You are listening to your dominant source for fetish news, kinky events, interviews, advice, and reviews. This is The Fetish Show.
So first up tonight on The Fetish Show News, we have an update on the Terry Jean Bedford story that I just mentioned.
Yes, and congratulations. I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil that a little bit.
No, that's fine. She won.
Yes, she did.
She won. Canada won, I guess you could say. As it turns out, there has been a change in the constitutional law in Canada, which
Amazing.
Allows for basically for brothels to be legal in Canada. They got two of the three challenges that went their way. And the only one that they did not strike down was some sort of deal where you basically can't solicit someone in a public place, I believe.
Well, we called her to see about getting an update. I guess she's on another show tonight, so we'll try to get her on next time and get a little update from her.
Yeah, we really want to get her point of view on this. I mean,
I'm sure she's elated.
Yeah, I've talked to her a few times through both Google Plus and through Facebook, and she is elated, and we really want to hear from her because she is primary in this case. So in any case, congratulations to Terry Jean Bedford and to Canada. And I think we talked a little bit about maybe getting our legal expert to talk a bit about what happened there and also maybe compare and contrast with what's happening in America.
Sure. I did. I sent him that, and he said he would do that.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right. So here's our first official news, and this was something that came across the transom, as they say, and was a big deal for a few days. And I was about to mobilize all of our news staff and see if we couldn't create something, and they reversed themselves here really quick. But in any case, this story is from Violet Blue. On Saturday, February 18th, PayPal began threatening indie book publishers and distributors with immediate deactivation of the business's accounts if they did not remove books containing certain sexual themes, namely specific sexual fantasies that PayPal does not approve of. PayPal told indie book publishers and retailers such as All Romance, Smashwords, Excessica, and Bookstrand that if they didn't remove the offending literature from their catalogs within a few days of notification, PayPal would close their accounts, their entire accounts.
Damn.
In case you haven't noticed, PayPal has a monopoly on the market of online payment processing. There are few alternatives, though none that are widely used by online shoppers. Smashwords had little choice. On February 24th, Smashwords sent a letter to all of their authors saying that it was being forced to make PayPal's guidelines about erotic literature the new rules for content Smashwords could publish and distribute from now on. So, what kind of fantasy sex in books is PayPal telling indie publishers is not okay? PayPal told the booksellers that they may not sell works of fiction that include sexual fantasies containing themes and implied scenarios of pseudo-incest, including daddy fantasies, stepfamily incest, fantasies about non-consensual sex or rape, bestiality, widened to include non-human fantasy creatures, read that as vampires, folks, and BDSM. Under the new PayPal policy, Mark Corker of Smashwords told all the Smashwords authors that they would also have to remove paranormal romance that included shapeshifters if the shapeshifters were to have sex in their non-human forms. PayPal eventually backed down. They did this in about 3 days and said that they were more concerned about erotic images than text and that they would deal with this on a book-by-book basis.
Well, that's what they should do, is deal with it on a book-by-book basis anyway.
The reason why this bugs me, I mean, this is not censorship in its most strict sense, because censorship, at least in the case of America, and
it's,
at least in case
like
of
blackmail.
The strict censorship is the government telling you you can't say something. In this case, this is a private company telling you that you can't say anything. But as was mentioned in the article, and by the way, that article was by Violet Blue, PayPal has a monopoly on, you know, on online payment processing.
No, what the hell is their reasoning?
Well, they had some issues with people reading the stuff and then feeling guilty because they read it. Follow along with me here. And so they would ask for a refund.
Reverse the payment, yeah.
Right. And apparently they're worried about that. It's the same argument that's used for porn. For online porn.
Well, I do know that the non-consensual sex material, that's pretty common throughout industry-wide. Most publishers won't publish things about non-consensual sex or, you know, things like that. So, okay, I can understand that to some degree. But it does need to be on a case-by-case basis because it has to do with BDSM.
But who is PayPal to be making this decision?
Yeah, fuck that.
that's the issue that I have with it. I mean, if Smashwords
within the law
decides that they don't want to publish that anymore, if they say that that's outside of their editorial, you know, policy or whatever, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. You know, people can find something else to do. But PayPal is just processing the payment,
yeah, that's true,
and taking a cut. I mean, who the fuck is PayPal to be telling anyone to do anything?
It's bullshit.
It's outrageous. Well, apparently other people felt the same way, and obviously PayPal backed down.
Well, they should be crazy to try to impose that on people, because they get more money. The sex industry is huge anyway. They get more money off that type of material.
Of course. Well, I can tell you, as someone who runs a site which takes credit card processing for explicit images, Visa will rake you over the coals. They will absolutely charge you extra money to make those payments.
Those kinds of payments.
Yep.
Well,
so
good thing they backed down some there.
It is. I think maybe the bottom line is that the internet is a powerful soapbox.
I think another thing comes to mind here, too, is we need another company such as PayPal to be a competitor with PayPal.
Absolutely, without question. There needs to be a competitor in everything, because it keeps people honest.
It's the American way.
It is. And also, I'd like to say that, you know, this thing with the eBay, I think it's kind of ironic that PayPal's trying to crack down on BDSM and ebooks when the biggest book out right now began as an ebook, and it's that 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, that's right.
That has now been picked up as a movie and everything else. It wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for ebooks. So, you know, having an outside, you know, a funding source tell you that you can't, you know, explore BDSM or whatever, things that I don't know what a bunch of old fat white men in offices decide is not
society.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell? I mean, do we really have to deal now with PayPal? Seriously?
Yes, we do.
It's just amazing. All right, moving on to the next story, and you're gonna plot your pants when you hear this. In the new issue of Garage, the world-famous sex therapist and educator Dr. Ruth Westheimer talks about her past, the risks boredom poses within a relationship, and why there are certain people she won't treat. Dr. Ruth talks a little bit about her Orthodox Jewish parents. During World War II, Westheimer was sent from Frankfurt to a children's home in Switzerland after her father was rounded up by the Nazis.
Lord.
Both her parents later died in the Holocaust. She was an only child. The war ended when she was 16. Quote, I then went to Palestine, lived on a kibbutz, which is a collective farm, she explains, and then worked in the underground movement as a sniper.
Wow.
Dr. Ruth was a member of the Zionist paramilitary group, the Ergun, and she says, quote, "I can still put 5 bullets in a little round red circle."
Wow. You go, girl. That?
Dr. Ruth's first job in sex education kind of weirded her out. Quote, "In 1967, I needed a job, so I got a position at the New York City branch of Planned Parenthood. I thought those people were crazy. All they do is talk about sex. They don't talk about the weather. They only talk about sex." Obviously, that impression didn't last. Dr. Ruth has now written over 30 books about sex and sexuality, in addition to having hosted her long-running sex advice show and answering our sex questions over brunch. That was the people who wrote the article. But Dr. Ruth says there are limits to her toleration for kink. She won't, for example, counsel people who are into BDSM because she can't, quote, visualize it. Sex educators need to know their limitations, she says. So if a couple walks into the door and they are engaged in sadomasochism, I send them to another sex therapist or to a psychiatrist. Even though I'm fine with anything two consenting adults want to do in the privacy of their own bedroom or living room or on their kitchen floor, the sex therapist has to be able to visualize what people do. I cannot visualize bondage and all that. It's not for me. Says Dr. Ruth, who at 83 still likes to dance with the likes of Wyclef John, at events, quote, "Boredom is the biggest danger in everything in life."
I agree with that. I think she's wise. I think she's wise to not counsel people if she can't visualize it.
I guess she knows her limitations. But
sure. I mean, she's not against it. She just says, I don't know anything about it. I can't do it. So I still dig her, though. I'd love to listen to her talk.
I do, too. I think it's actually amazing, like a real fascinating story of her life there, which is why I included
that.
Obviously, yeah. You know, I was interested in the BDSM thing. Some of the talking that's been on the internet lately has been about kink aware therapists, and I thought that this played right into that that discussion. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there needs to be some, definitely. I know that there are some lifestyle or aware anyway. And even lifestyle therapists.
Sure.
I've ran into a few here and there. But I think the ones that are not, they still need to be aware. There needs to be some sort of training or whatever, education.
Maybe a little education, sure.
Yeah, I agree. But Dr. Ruth obviously knows that it exists. You know, she's not opposed, and, you know, that's a big thing. That's a big plus. If a counselor doesn't even really know anything about it at all, they may be totally opposed. Which is not a good thing.
Right.
We don't want anyone to get hurt emotionally. So if you go to see a therapist and they're like, "Oh my God, what do? That's horrible." Yeah. You know?
You know, by the time that you get, it's got to be difficult for people in the first place to go to a psychiatrist or a
therapist
or a therapist or something and talk about this sort of thing. You know, and then when you say something to your therapist or whatever, and they're like, "Oh, I can't, you know, I can't deal with that. That's crazy." And
that's
stuff.
Right.
You know, it makes things very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. So I think it may be a big problem. I don't know how big a problem it is. I have no idea.
Well, there's Christian therapists where it's got the spiritual aspect to it. So okay. There definitely should be some BDSM aware counselors out there.
I'm kind of wondering if there's maybe a website that lists kink aware therapists.
There is a website that lists professionals, kink aware, kink professionals.
What's that?
FetLife.
We're hearing that FetLife has something on there.
There's a group.
Oh, there's a group
on
there.
FetLife.
That's interesting.
There is a website too, and I'll need to look it up, and I'll get back with that.
I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll do a little research on this subject, and also I will invite people who are listening to this. Maybe they know of some resources. We'll post it on the site.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
You can get in touch with us, info@thefetishshow.com.
And if you are a mental health provider in any way and you are lifestyle or aware, get in touch. Let us know who you are, and we'll definitely get that information.
Yeah, we might actually get you on here and talk to you. Yeah. All right. Our next story is from the Tokyo Reporter. Tokyo Metropolitan Police on February 14th, that was Valentine's Day, folks, busted a massage parlor for offering sexual services dispensed by the feet of female attendants. Wow. Officers took managers. Oh, wow. Here we go. Man, why do we have to do stories from around the world?
I don't know how you're going to say
Masashi Ono, 66, and Seiji Aramaki, 46. And one other employee affiliated with the Aishazim Club into custody for violating the law regulating adult entertainment businesses. Quote, I thought it would be profitable as I have such a fetish, unquote. Ono is quoted by police in admitting to the allegations. According to police sources, the club offers private rooms and is staffed by 20 women whose treatments start at 8,000 yen for 30 minutes. The arrest followed revelations that a female masseuse, 25, massaged the lower half of a 28-year-old company employee's body with her foot. The bust is the first of its kind in Japan.
I don't even know what to say. They massage him with her foot. Why is that against the law? Is that some kind of health hazard or something? I know in some you got to wear shoes if you work in a restaurant because health reasons, health code. But it's what the hell?
I guess it's sexual service, whether it's done with whatever part of your body, right?
Well, since it was a massage, didn't say there was any sexual service.
I think they are saying that they're giving them the happy ending with their feet.
Oh, the foot job. I didn't get it.
The happy ending.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Princess Zoe.
Okay. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with... I'm thinking geisha girls walking around. On
the... No. This is not just walking on your back.
All right.
This is something different.
Okay. What's this, the lower half of his body? I thought, well, maybe he got like...
You know, this reminds me of a story. Job. Some of the Couch Pirates went down to see WrestleMania one year. I think it was in Houston. This was 2 or 3 years ago. Mm. And there was a stripper in a strip club that told them that she could get anyone off within 3 minutes with her feet.
Hmm. You believe that?
I don't believe that. I would take that challenge. I want to put that to the test.
Well, maybe we'll have to find her and get her to come on the show.
That's
and
what
show
I'm
us.
Saying. I am disbelieving that.
Let's see here.
She said she could do anyone. I mean, that includes me.
Does that include
so
me?
So I'm just saying, well, I don't know. Maybe so. I don't know. That I'm just saying those are bold words.
Oh, well, I think she just was maybe blowing a little smoke there.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Mm. Okay, well.
All I'm saying is if someone throws down that gauntlet, I'm going to pick it up.
Well, so what's your point in telling us this anyway?
Well, I'm just saying that reminded me of this story. It's got multiple stories.
You do have some stories.
Yes, I do. That's it for the Fetish Show News.
And now it's time for...
Wheel of Fetish!
Welcome to Wheel of Fetish. I'm Princess Zoe. I'm your hostess for this evening's episode. And today our topic is going to be, we're going to spin the wheel there, Dirk. Oh, see what it lands on.
It's very exciting.
I know. It's so intense here. Oh, boot fetishism. Oh, wow.
It's good stuff.
That is.
Boot fetish.
Boot fetish. So
dig it.
Let's talk about boot fetish.
Let's do.
Okay. We actually have a guy who is into boot fetish who is going to give us some information about his fetish.
Amazing that we have someone already set up for boot fetish despite the fact that we just spun the wheel.
I know, isn't that amazing?
We're that good.
We are so good at that. good thing, since we have a boot fetish guy, it landed on boot fetish. I mean, it could have been like so off.
Right. I mean, we've just got, we're just that hooked into the whole damn fetish world.
Okay.
We got people on the hotline.
That's right. Of every fetish, we're just, waiting on standby.
Absolutely.
That's kind of true, though. Boot fetishism is very closely related to shoe fetishism. Many of the same sexual appeals regarding high heel shoes apply to boots. In most cases, the fetish of the boot is accompanied by a fetish of the material which it's made from. Examples could be leather, rubber, latex. High heel boots help elongate the calf, creating a longer leg appearance, which is generally considered to be more sexually attractive. In general, boots can be divided into three primary structural categories and subdivided in from three. There are ankle length, knee length, and thigh length boots. Many have the potential to be turn-ons. I tend to think so. I like to wear thigh-high boots. That's turn-on to me.
Oh, thigh-high boots are hot.
They are hot. Yeah, definitely. So there's not a lot of information out and about on boot fetish. So it's, if you're into boot fetish, there is a website that you could look up, the bootfetish.info, mm-hmm. and see if there's anything more on there. But
it's definitely something that's not talked about a lot.
It doesn't seem to be. So that's kind of an obscure little fetish there.
There's a kind of a BDSM element to this in some cases.
Sure, yes.
We've interviewed a couple of boot blacks.
Yes.
That, I mean, I don't know if necessarily it was a fetish for them, but I'm sure for some it is. And there's always boot licking and, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, that may not be a fetish, but it can be fetishized.
Yes. Well, I was, the more I got to studying about it, the more I was surprised that it didn't have more to do with the foot itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely just the boot.
Right.
So I learned something new on that one.
Yeah.
As well.
That's good stuff. Do you want to hear from Ryan?
Yes, let's hear from Ryan.
All right.
The boot fetishist.
Here is Ryan, the boot fetishist. All right. On the phone, we have Ryan, who is a boot fetishist. Welcome to the Fetish Show.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, great. Thanks so much for having me on, you guys. I really love your show. It's awesome.
Thank you. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, tell us what boot fetish is.
Okay, well, I mean, a lot of people really confuse the word fetish, you know, and it's overused in today's society. They go like, oh, I have such a chocolate fetish or whatever. What that means
true.
Is they like it, or mm-hmm. they think it's great, or that, you know, it's not a fetish. And so many people just throw that word around like, oh, I have a lingerie fetish. And a lot of people do, but a lot of people just like lingerie. They don't necessarily like have to have it to get off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's one thing. And for me, the boot fetish has been like an orientation in the sense that it's almost like being gay. You can't enjoy any kind of sex or even get aroused in any way without it. And that's kind of where I have been since about 7 years old.
Well, fetishes happen in a certain age of childhood development. So that's interesting that you said seven, because I was going to ask that same question, like, when did it start for you? So,
yeah. And, you know, what's funny is I don't know which came first or my reaction to it, but what happened was we had this house guest that was staying with us, and she was this 32-year-old woman and absolutely stunningly beautiful. And you know, she was staying at our place.
You
and
thought that at seven that she was stunningly beautiful? Wow.
I thought she was like the most beautiful, like she was like an angel. She was the most beautiful wow. creature I've ever seen. And then I remember, like, we were alone in her room and she was packing to leave, and she was putting on these boots. And they were lace-up boots. They went up to the knee. And I remember just watching her fingers do the laces and everything. And just like, she was so angelic. And I just thought, oh my God, this is like amazing. And then I started to get like a little erection.
Wow. That's interesting right there.
I don't know if that started the fetish or if it actually, you know, was just uncovered then.
Well, I can give you my theory on that, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know, it's been different. It's definitely been a different kind of thing. And most people see a girl and they think, oh, she's so cute or sexy or whatever. And you know, when I see her, I'm like, well, what kind of shoes is she wearing? And if it's not boots, it doesn't help me. And I don't think she's beautiful or sexy or anything. And so I had this kind of lonely, weird sort of, you know, upbringing with relationship with women, because I just didn't understand what the attraction was. And so it is a lot like being gay, you know. And by the way, I'm 100% straight, and I'm 100% like totally, you know, into women. Like, that's my thing, is women in boots. It's not about like me wearing boots or about, you know, guys wearing boots. It's just about women in boots. And the funny thing is, if you have like a pair of boots, it doesn't really do that much for me. But when someone puts them on, it suddenly turns into magic. You know, that's when it happens.
I always wear boots. That's my little signature thing that I do. So I dig boots a lot too.
See, that's awesome. You and me would get along just great.
I don't have a fetish for them. However, I like them dearly.
Well, they're strong. They're kind of like dominant. They're sexy and powerful, and they're kind of usually made out of leather. So there's this kind of like earth, you know.
They're just fucking cool.
So how do you tell some? I mean, if you're going to date someone, how do you tell them that they need to be wearing boots for you to get off?
Each relationship kind of I got a little more aggressive as I went along, because I'm like, hey, I got to get to the point here. my first relationship, you know, I went like a year and a half, and then I kept saying, you know, come on now, and she just thought they were like for tramps or whatever, and I was like, oh, come on, they're in Vogue magazine, they're, you know, like on Beverly Hills and everything, and so that one didn't work out. But but then gradually I got more adept, and like with my current wife that I'm like crazy about, I just told her straight up, I go, look, there's something I got to tell you. I have like this major fetish, and it's like a real thing. And she's like, that's cool. As long as we're together, I love you. So she has like this fucking ginormous boot collection. And, you know, the funniest thing about it is you would think that I would get tired of them or something, like, oh, the same ones. But, you know, it's like if you work in an ice cream store, you still don't get tired of ice cream, you know?
Wow.
Ryan, tell us about how this maybe affects your career.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I went to film school, and, you know, it's really sad because at the time I was too closeted or too ashamed to actually really push where I wanted to go with this creatively in films. And I like regular, you know, European and indie films. And I'm not talking about porn, I'm just talking about legitimate films, you know? You know, but I was too afraid to like really, really go for it and make cool films featuring boots. And so then I missed out on that opportunity, you know? And then what happened was the more I went, the more I started to get driven by the boot fetish. And so I would create these projects like screenplays or little movies, short films that would all be starting from a boot genesis. And then there was usually like some other like kinky stuff going on or whatever, but it was like a regular movie. So now I wrote this feature length screenplay that's 2 hours, you know, for a movie, and I just let everything just out there on the page. I just put it all out there, everything about it. But it's in a story. It's a really, really cool, sort of interesting, artsy story. And so I'm not afraid anymore to do that, but I am still afraid to talk about my fetish with, you know, family and friends and stuff.
What's the website?
The website is bootofitaly.com, and that's actually the title of the of it too.
Well, you said you were going to tell us something very shocking here.
Oh my God. I'll tell you something shocking.
All right.
All right. So the really, really shocking part is that when I was, when I was single back in the day, I was so turned on by boots, and I didn't have a girlfriend, and it was really hard for me, and I just couldn't believe it. So I would order these boots, or sometimes I would buy them in a store. Like, actually, in those days, I bought them in like big store.
Macy's?
Yeah. You know, like some big department store. Mm-hmm. Nordstrom's. I don't know if you have Nordstrom's, but anyway, big department store. And then I would just like totally get off with the boots, like just totally get excited about it. And then this is really sad, but like I would put a little bit of cum in the bottom of the heel inside the boot. And I totally got turned on that like some stranger was walking around touching my cells of my sperm. And, like,
well, I'm sure that's not the worst thing that could go into a boot.
Oh my God. But just the idea that like their foot was in there, you know, and it was like all getting sweaty in there and stuff. I just thought that was like so awesome. I only did it maybe a couple times, but it was kind of like leaving a mark, you know.
Hey, Ryan, we really appreciate you sharing your fetish with us. Thanks for being on The Fetish Show.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I really love your show. And tell everyone to keep wearing boots.
All right, that was our interview with Ryan. Do you have any thoughts about that? Or?
Well, I thought it was very interesting and very informative. He certainly could talk a long time about his fetish. And he tends to feel, I think, maybe kind of alone in his, you know, his world of loving boots. So he said he hasn't ran across any other people that he can communicate with about this. I thought that was kind of significant.
I think in general that people who have very serious fetishes, I think that they feel in general about, you know, that they're kind of on their own on this sort of stuff, that there's a lot of
kind of isolated feeling, yeah, of isolation.
Like the community, not the community, but just the world in general might be against them. They have, yeah, to keep it among, you know, it's weird. You know, you have to keep it in. It's very difficult. And when you have to also couple that with being in a relationship, that means that at some point you've got to have that discussion,
yes,
with your partner that says, hey,
I want to come in this on your case, boots.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to have boots involved. I mean, that's a true fetish.
Yes.
This is a fetish show, and we use the most broadest definition of that. But, you know, what Ryan has is a true fetish. He needs it to get off.
That is a true fetish.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's very hardcore and it's very ingrained. And you have to feel for the guy because he's got to deal with this in every intimate relationship that he's in. I think that maybe I'll let you wrap things up, but I think that it would be good to maybe invite other people who have fetishes that are like this, that are not just something like, hey, I like to see, you know, chicks in thigh-high boots, but something, mm-hmm, where it's like serious. Well, a real fetish.
I mean,
get in touch with us.
The definition of fetish, briefly, is in the age of sexual development, we attach sexual importance on a non-human object.
Well, I mean, he described that to us.
Yeah, so
he described that event.
So if there's people out there, other people, this particular a fetish towards non-human items, mm-hmm, objects, let's hear from you.
Yeah,
if
we want
to talk to us.
Yeah, because I think that interview was really quite a revelation on, you know, how serious it is and how, you know, how passionate he is about, yeah, this, you know, this fetish of his.
Well, part of what it's he told me is like, yeah, he couldn't believe how strong it was or how deep, mm-hmm, it was for him.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So thank you, Ryan.
That's amazing. And, you know, you can share it here and we won't judge you.
We won't judge you. We might giggle a little bit.
We might. I mean, you know, this stuff is...
Someone's cute. I mean, it's funny. Yeah, I mean, not funny in a bad way, but definitely...
It's unusual, but that doesn't mean we'll judge you.
I giggle all the time. So anyway.
And I might say something else, too.
What?
This is an opportunity for you to tell your story and maybe help other people out there who think that they are alone and that they're the only people who are dealing with this, and that's just not the case.
That's right. If it's something you feel or think, I guarantee you probably someone else has too.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, so share your story with us. Contact us, info@thefetishshow.com.
That's right. And that's it for the Will of Fetish and Boot Fetishism. Until next time.
The Fetish Show feature presentation.
Today we have the owner of TNT Burlesque, Apple Nicole Angel. Welcome to The Fetish Show.
Thank you for having me.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. Wow.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's a pretty girl sitting beside me.
This is what you call an impromptu interview here.
Yeah, we just pulled her in off
like
the street.
Kind of like a surprise interview.
Yes. Gorilla.
Yes.
Gorilla interview.
Yes. We just tackled her out in the street and drug her in here.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we did. We can do that. And she's sitting by me, though, seeing not by you.
I know. That's always the way it is.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
We roll like that.
Sorry.
Tell us about your production company.
I own TNT Burlesque and Variety Troupe. We do four shows a year. Well, we do four fully produced shows where I do all the hiring and organizing. And we have an amazing choreographer who is Vanity Halston. And we do them at The Boom, which is over on 39th and Penn. And we do...
In Oklahoma City.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. In Oklahoma City. And they've all been sold out so far.
Cool.
And it's amazing. I try to bring in performers from other states and other cities, and things are really going well.
How long have you been doing it?
I have actually only been doing it, it'll be a year in April.
Wow.
But I don't know how to do anything slowly, so I didn't try to work with anyone else. I just started my own company.
Tell us kind of like a usual show. What would all that
mean? Oh, gosh. I try to make them more like an old vaudeville show. So you've got comedians and you've got female impersonation and belly dancers and male and female burlesque. We have live singing, choreography for group numbers, great costumes.
I want to see the stripping like they used to have. That girl come out and do like a 3-song set. You know, she'd pull up some clothes and then go back and pull some more.
Audiences don't last that long anymore. You can do about 4 or 5 minutes max, and then they're bored. So that's pretty much what we do. But we do the old fashioned with feather boas and gloves and, oh, I'm sorry, and fancy costumes with lots of rhinestones and
lots of cleavage.
Well, yeah.
That's important. That's
well, truth be told, I saw it just the other day, and it was a great production.
Thank you.
And I think one of the interesting things about what you're doing is I think there's some confusion over what is stripping and what is burlesque, what really qualifies as burlesque.
Yeah. Okay.
So could you maybe talk a little bit about that?
Well, in all, I mean, if we want to get down to brass tacks, I am a stripper. That's what I do. But it's not... Cool. It's not within the first 4 bars. I'm down to, you know, a G-string and a day-glow bikini. You have full choreography.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, but it's just, it's different.
Yes.
It's just not what I do. But we do go down to, depending on where you're performing and the laws and all that, where we perform at the Boom, luckily, we perform down to, like, thongs or G-strings or merkins, which is basically
the
little strip.
Over the nippies.
And then we do pasties. And, but other places you can't go down to that, so you usually go down to a bra, or you know, we can really work
in
any
conservative state.
Yes, we do. But I love our home bar where we perform. They're really, really supportive, and they've just said that, you know, what you're doing is art. And we have months of rehearsals, so it's not like you just throw on a CD and go for it.
Well, I've been to strip clubs before. I know that's hard to believe. And I also saw your performance the other night, mm-hmm. and you have songs and outfits that are coordinated with that,
mm-hmm.
and you have an entire routine. It's more like a dance routine instead
yes.
of just like, you know, go to
and
the pole
nice
and
boobs.
Do
you.
All that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
you've also have men.
We do.
Who are involved in the show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's boylesque.
Right.
Yeah,
I want to see that.
And there's comedy,
mm-hmm.
a lot of comedy.
Yeah, we have, I mean, our host is amazing. Not only is he the host, he also makes a lot of my costumes and he does makeup and...
I need somebody like that.
He's fantastic. He's my best friend, so.
Yeah, how long is the show? If someone comes to the show, how long is it?
They're about 2.5 hours. Our shows are $20 in advance, $25 at the door, so we really want to give you a real show. It's a real performance.
That's pretty cool. How do you get a ticket?
You can go to our website. We actually have our next show is May 11th, 12th, and 13th at the Boom in Oklahoma City. And you can go to tntsizzle.com, and we have tickets available.
We should go there, Dirt.
What's the theme?
It's called Pop Rocks and Pasties. So it's a candy show.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah.
I want to go.
Yeah, please. Love to. Love to have you guys there.
It's very entertaining.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, I love my job. I can't believe I get paid to do this.
Well, yeah, I can. They should pay you to do it.
Yeah.
You also do fetish modeling. Talk about that for a second.
I do.
I'm sorry, more like pinup modeling.
Yeah, I predominantly do pinup modeling, but I do want to get into doing more fetish. I've been in various magazines. I've been in Bachelor Pad. I also write for them. And then I'm in Retro Lovely, Vintage Kittens. I've done a lot of work with Boudoir Louisville and Dynamite Dames. They're out of Fort Worth. And Vixen Pinup, who's a lot of fun out of Kansas City. And
mm-hmm.
I love doing it, and I get to travel all over. So it's pretty good. I do want to do more fetish, though. We'll see.
Well, yeah, you know, we happen to know a fetish photographer.
We do.
Yeah.
Actually, I've worked with him recently.
Yes, we had a shoot together, which I can't really talk about yet.
But it's amazing.
I might have seen a picture or two from that, maybe.
We had...
really
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Thanks.
We had Apple Angel and some members of her troupe get together.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned Vanity, who did makeup for us.
Yes.
And we actually shot the thing at the Boom. It was, you know, like a hair... Who did the hair?
Jay Austin Designs.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so we had hair and makeup and...
The whole deal. It was really a production.
The lighting was awesome, too.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
Oh. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed working with you.
We did. Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We did it specifically for the Biting the Apple.
Yes, which is coming up really soon, and I'm actually
which
performing
has nothing to do
both nights
necessarily with Apple
me.
Angel, but just a yeah. strange
aren't you
coincidence.
You have something to do with that.
I do. I'm the spokesperson, and my troupe is performing both Friday and Saturday. It's April 13th and 14th, and that's where I was earlier this evening. We had a meeting, and things are going really well, and we're really excited, and
So what are your responsibilities as the spokesperson?
Doing things like this. I get to talk and do interviews, and I'll be on Oklahoma Live, and I'm also doing an interview with the Spy, and whatever else they need, I'll talk to the Gazette. And
is the Spy still around? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I couldn't find them.
It's
right.
Online.
It's online.
Shit.
It's online now. What is, since we're plugging everyone, what is that now?
It's the spyfm.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
If you want to check
a good
that
radio
out.
Station.
It is. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all local. I mean,
let's talk about biting the apple for just a second since we brought that up.
All right.
Tell us a little bit about what that is.
Well, Biting the Apple is an erotic and exotic art feature in Oklahoma City. It's a fundraiser to benefit the Independent Artists of Oklahoma Gallery. And it's a lot of fun. It's probably their best fundraiser of the year. It's got the biggest volume. They do huge performances. TNT is performing, also Seven Deadly Sins Burlesque, which is in Oklahoma City, Perpetual Motion Dance. Drag queens from the Boom are performing.
These are other companies, dance companies,
or yeah,
groups.
Yeah, and let's see. I'm trying to think. We've added so many amazing people this year, and we've got DJs, and the theme is glam, so it's going to be a lot of rock and roll and a lot of 80s style and just a lot of fun and a lot of over the top and glitter. And
is there a website that'll give all that information?
It's iaogallery.org.
Who would have funk it?
Yeah,
I've been in Biting the Apple. Yes. I think maybe 7 times, something like that, 7 or 8 times.
Wow.
As far as erotic art shows go, if you're in Oklahoma City, it's pretty much the erotic art show.
Yeah.
They have people lined up around the block. The first night is the opening night,
yeah,
which is where all the artists show up and stuff. But the second night,
yes,
is the fetish ball, and that's where all the freaks show up. And so that's the night that's, yeah, fun to go to.
I
if you're going to, if you're
going
to go there.
At the market last year.
No, that was a different event.
It was a different event.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, they have it at the IAO Gallery, which is over in the Film Row on Sheridan.
Right.
It's a beautiful building, and we're working. There will be a tent outside where people will be performing, and we'll have 2 different performances inside, too. So it's going to be a huge event. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
My friend Robert, who is also an erotic photographer, said that he went to the Dirty Show in Detroit.
Nice.
And he said that we had just as good turnout here in Oklahoma City at the Biting the Apple as they had, ooh, at the Dirty Show. So
we're getting there.
There you go. There you go. Listen, you give people, you know, enough to you give people what they're looking for, mm-hmm, and they will show up for it.
Yeah. Well, thank you all so much for having me on.
You're welcome. Let's make sure that we get out all of your websites.
Okay. TNTSizzle.com is for my burlesque troupe, and then for my modeling personally is NeonTemptress.com.
I like that name.
Thank you.
And you will travel too, then?
I do. I do. I travel.
Right.
London next year.
Wow.
There you go.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think Princess Zoe is going to London too.
I think I might.
We should go together.
Spoiler alert.
I'll have to tell you why later.
Apple Angel,
thank you.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
The Fetish Show has thousands of kinky adult listeners and is growing with every episode. If you'd like to reach a highly targeted audience of BDSM lifestylers and curious sexual adventurers, then contact our advertising team at info@thefetishshow.com.
All right, we want to thank Apple Angel for her interview with us.
Yes, thank you, Apple.
We got some video of that, you know.
Yes, we do. I'll have to get that
up. Of you and her and my shoulder.
That's because you're sitting in the wrong spot.
So if you want to see what those two look like, then we got footage of that.
She's a cutie.
We might get that out someday if I can get my computer fixed.
Oh, Lord.
You know how that goes. I want to guide everyone over to her website, which is neontemptress.com, if you want to see her modeling site, and also tntsizzle.com, sizzle.com, if you want to see her burlesque troupe.
I suggest checking it out, yes.
Excellente. Also, we would like to thank Ryan, the boot fetishist.
Yes, thank you, Ryan.
For that interview. And also tell you that you can go check out his bootofitaly.com site, which, mm, should be live by the time that we get this out.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Thank you very much for that. Also, we have an announcement to make. I think we've made this announcement before. You want to Give it to them.
We're going to Kinky Carnival June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And Dirk is actually going to be doing a presentation there. He's going to be doing a workshop there and doing an art show. And you also donated a piece of artwork to their auction.
Right.
So, yeah, so you got a lot going on there.
Right, I do. I'm doing all kinds of crazy stuff
and
there.
We're taking the fetish show up there in its entirety.
Be doing some interviews, including, hopefully, their major guest there.
Jay Wiseman. Jay Wiseman will be there.
For people who are into BDSM, you should know that Jay Wiseman is a prolific author of several books that I have read that were influential on my education in BDSM, particularly when I was starting out. Gave me a lot of good information.
I have a book too, yeah.
Yep, I think.
101.
Listen, you look on, if people are into BDSM, then they've probably got it on their shelf. They got at least one book from Jay Wiseman on there.
Probably so.
So we're hoping to grab him and get an interview with him at Kinky Carnival and some other people who are there.
And you can find out more on their website, too, because they've got all the presenters listed and all their guests. Or they're not their guests, I'm sorry. They're presenters.
Right.
I don't know why I said that. They wouldn't tell everyone who their guests are. Never mind. Anyway, so you can go to Kinky Carnival KS.
That's with K's, all K's.
Yes, Carnival is with a K. KinkyCarnivalKS.com.
There you go.
More info. And you see your picture on there.
Get all that information.
Yes.
You see my picture on there?
Yeah, your picture's on under the presenter. Yeah.
Is it?
It sure is.
Oh, Lord.
Well,
that's bad news.
No, you look good.
We have something special for you today. We hinted about that at the beginning of the episode. I don't know how many times we may have mentioned it a couple times that you are a professional singer. You've done some recording abroad.
Yes, I have.
In Europe.
I've done some recording here
you
too.
You do a lot of, yeah. And also have been in, you know, many different venues and stuff where you've performed live.
I've fronted a band for a long time.
So. Right. What we're going to do is today we're going to, at the end of the episode, we're going to play one of Princess Zoe's songs.
Oh, wow.
Do you want to talk a little bit about
sure.
the song? And
sure. This song, it's got amazing production. It was actually recorded in a great studio over in Greece when I lived over there. And the song is called It Is So Right. And it's got a one-minute intro, so it's kind of a long intro. I didn't write the music for it. But I don't write music. So anyway, I don't read or write music. Don't play anything either. I barely play the radio. But anyway, the song's great, and I love it myself. It's one of my favorite songs, so I hope you guys will too.
This is not a cover. This is an original song, folks.
It's an original song.
And it is really exceptionally well produced. I think you're going to be amazed
the production
at how
song.
Good this sounds.
And I have it actually on my website. If you go to archeamusic.com, ArcheaMusic.com, and you can download it off there.
Right.
So there you go.
There you go. There's a song. It's what is it called again? Say it again.
It Is So Right.
It Is So Right.
Yes.
And if we get good reaction on this, we actually might have another song or two to play for you.
That's a Princess Zoe original.
It is a Princess Zoe original.
Yes, it is.
People need to know that, this is for real. This is really happening.
All right. Let's see this happen. Hear this happen.
All right. As this begins, we're going to wrap up this episode of The Fetish Show. I'd like to say if you're interested in more information about what we do and where we are, then please drop by our website, which is thefetishshow.com, and you get more information on this episode, and you can also get links to iTunes. You can get our new link to Stitcher, and I would highly suggest going to check out Stitcher because it is the future of radio.
We're everywhere you want to be.
Absolutely. Do you have anything else that you want to say there, Princess
Zoe?
That
is it. Thank you guys for listening.
All right. Very much. Thank you. This is Dirk Hooper for Princess Zoe. Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. Until next time, dream hard. Down.
world seems so golden. But I found me the strength, I'm gonna take cover.
Yeah.